Welcome to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss an article from the July issue of the Beef Watch newsletter titled Build Cows That Stay, Smarter Heifer Development for Long-Term Productivity. To have a conversation about this, I'm joined today by one of the co-authors, Dr. Casey McCarthy, who's a Nebraska Extension Cow-Calf Systems Specialist. Thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Aaron.
Dr. McCarthy, in this article, you talk about some research that's been done both at the University of Nebraska and other locations that has looked at what are some things we can do in terms of identifying and developing heifers to increase the likelihood that they're going to stay in the herd and be productive. Walk through with us some of those principles that we can be paying attention to, especially as we start to think about where we're at right now in Nebraska, moving towards the fall, selecting and keeping replacement heifers. Which ones have the greatest chance of making cows and staying in the herd?
When we think about setting heifers up as replacements and thinking about cow longevity, a lot of it is more than just achieving that first pregnancy. And so when we think about matching our females and building females that are going to remain productive in their production environment, so that's going to be within our forage resources, the climate, the management system, there's a lot of other things that we need to be thinking about to set that foundation for success for those females. And so one of those things that we like to talk about as we're thinking about setting heifers up is that concept of early conception. So, right, heifers that conceive within the first 21 days of their initial breeding season tend to calve earlier, have more time to recover from a postpartum standpoint. And we see that they're also weaning more pounds of calf over their lifetime compared to females that are later conceiving. And so as we start to set them up and as we start to get females ready for the breeding season and we're doing pregnancy checks, really looking at where they've been developed, that early conception time point is going to be really critical. And then when we start to think about some of the research that you mentioned earlier, as we think about range systems or traditional systems, where these females are also developed is going to be something that we need folks to be considering, right? When we start to think about development costs, that's going to play a big role in where they're at, as well as then thinking about some of that long-term success for these females.
So let's talk a little bit about that in terms of how do we think about if a cow is going to spend her life on cake and range? Do we need to prep her for that a bit?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one concept that I really like to talk about with folks when we think about some of the research that's been done over the years, you know, matching that heifer to her resources. And so, for example, there's been research comparing kind of that intensive or dry lot scenario compared to an extensive range-based system where a lot of that's going to come down to the type of protein and or nutrition strategies that we might be implementing, the amount of exercise that these females may be exhibiting, and then what we do after the breeding season as well. And so one study that I talk about in the article would be some work out of New Mexico State. Dr. Molinix back in 2013 evaluated springborn heifers developed under a couple different strategies. So these were range developed heifers. They either received a low or high rumen undegradable protein, and then we had dry lot developed heifers, and they were all targeted at similar rates of gain. And these heifers that were developed on range with a higher rumen undegradable protein supplement exhibited greater retention in the breeding herd through 5 years of age compared to these heifers that were either a low RUP or dry lot developed heifers. And so knowing that protein type can have an impact and not just level of nutrition are going to play a role in some of these forage limited systems. And so that would be one extreme where we're thinking about not a lot of feed, lower inputs, but really targeting to make sure we're hitting those, you know, growth requirements for those heifers and seeing some benefits long term as well.
One of the other things you mentioned in the article is the age of that heifer when she first conceives. Talk about that a bit, because there is a significant advantage for heifers that are a little older at their first breeding season and then how they go ahead and retain in the cow herd as they go on to even through the age of five.
Yeah, absolutely. So there was a recent study out of Dr. Molinix's lab that I was a part of where we were looking at comparing March-born heifers, so older heifers, compared to a May-born heifer. So we looked at if those heifers in the May group were born early or late in the calving season. So we looked at over a 5-year period what that retention rate was for these heifers developed in these different systems. And so what we noted was that after 5 years, a greater proportion of those heifers that were born in that March system remained in the herd with no differences between that early and May-born heifer group. So basically, right, suggesting that age at that first calving rather than position within the calving season had a greater influence on retention. So when we're thinking about, maybe converting older heifers into a summer type system, that may be advantageous for those females and or right as we just look at older females within our calving group and understanding right that we're also going to need to set these females up from a nutritional standpoint when they move into lactation and rebreeding, especially in some of these limited environments. And so making sure that as we move these females into that second, third calving season, making sure they're getting enough energy for lactation and also making sure that we identify if we are deficient in protein or, in metabolizable protein within our forages and we're energy deficient, that we're maybe being strategic as well from a supplementation standpoint to help these females and be strategic throughout the breeding season. And so one of those kind of management perspectives that we targeted in using this recent study out of the cows that were out at in the Sandhills at the Goodmanson Sandhills lab, when you're thinking about incorporating females maybe into some of your different systems, thinking about those older replacement females, they're generally going to be calving earlier within that system and group, but we also can then evaluate where our records are at, and looking at heifer age and or if we're purchasing replacements and we've got a summer calving system, sourcing maybe those females that are from earlier calving herds or maybe from a March calving system may be advantageous when you think about incorporating older females that are going to be prepared for a system and have an opportunity to meet those lactation demands. They are maybe a little bigger and more mature.
Yeah, I think it was really interesting looking at the data. So the Gibbonson data, these are heifers that were raised on the ranch. They were from the March-born herd, and you just rolled those to the May-born herd. So in a sense, they're 60 to 70 days older on average than their herd mates that are of the same genetics, same set of resources. But those heifers showed a distinct advantage as we think about their longevity out to the age of 5.
Correct. Yeah. And when you look at the values, we see those older March converted heifers still are in upwards of 60 to 75% retention rates over a 5-year period, where those May-born females are in the 40s and 50s throughout their second, third, fourth year old timeframe. So we do see quite a bit of a decline as we look out over that 5-year period. So definitely really interesting knowing that they're coming from the same group, just older by about, 60 to 70 days, like you mentioned.
The other thing you mentioned in the article is just that we need to pay attention to these young bred females. We're thinking here about 2s and 3-year-olds because they're still growing themselves. They're going through dental change. That's a vulnerable group, and some management there can really help us in terms of retention of those to get out to that middle-aged female.
As we're setting these females up as heifers, wanting to continue to see them be successful as 2 and 3 year olds and rebreed in that upcoming breeding season. And so the big thing that we like to point out in the article is really monitoring our body condition in those females. And so a lot of data, this was some more recent data. With cows entering that breeding season at a body condition of 5 or greater, we're seeing improved pregnancy rates, calf survival, and weaning weights. And so that's just reiterating a lot of the information and research that we've seen over the years, where if we can manage those body reserves, that's going to be supporting those females to return to estrus earlier, increase that likelihood of maintaining that yearly calving interval as well. And so making sure that we're maintaining that body condition, making sure we're meeting those lactational demands, and then also just setting them up as we think about going into weaning and having the more weaned calf per cow exposed really helps when we start to move into to those older females.
Anything else on this topic you'd like to highlight today?
As we just think about, long-term approach and thinking about our whole system, the big keys that folks really want to be targeting here, right, is as we develop our heifers under different and/or similar conditions, prioritizing, those early born, early conceiving females, really think about maintaining body condition. And then if we need to use supplementation or nutrition, we can use that strategically to help improve rebreeding success. Because at the end of the day, we want those calves on the ground and we want to see those females retaining the herd and stay productive throughout their lifetime.
Well, for more information on the topic we discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find this article at beef.unl.edu. At that website, we also have additional resources on this topic.